Good morning. It's good to be back. It's been about 3 Sundays since I've been here, so hope you guys have all enjoyed the last few weeks. School holidays are over, so all the children will be going back to school. Some parents might be happy with that. I don't know if parents enjoy school holidays or not. So to start with, I actually just wanted to talk about my hearing. It might be a bit weird, but I kind of feel like I sometimes need to get my hearing checked. Like, I'm not even 30 and sometimes I question my ability to hear properly. Like, for instance, I'll be talking with my husband, Ben, and I'm just like, can you just stop mumbling? Like, I just can't hear what you're saying to me. And he's probably not actually mumbling at all. I just can't hear him. And then he'll say to me, no, you're just not listening, or you're such a bad listener, Chrissy. And then I think, well, you're trying to talk to me while I'm doing something, or like I'm watching TV, so my attention is drawn somewhere else. So you need to make sure that my attention is given to you, almost like it's his fault that I'm not listening to him. But I think actually I'm just a bad listener. I'm like confessing here. I'll notice it particularly if I'm talking to Ben, or if I'm at work and I'll be like discussing things with Craig or someone, and they'll be talking, and in my head, I'm thinking about something else further down in the conversation. Does anyone else have this problem? It could just be me. And I want to say this thing that's like down the conversation, so I'll wait for like a gap in what they're saying to me, and then I'll jump in with something that seems completely irrelevant to them. It's not. It's like how I'm thinking. But I've just like skipped ahead in the conversation in what we're talking about, and I'm like, yeah, I'm actually a bad listener. And I think about my hearing and my listening skills, and I think I'm just trying to make excuses, because hearing and listening are two different skills. You can hear something, but you may not actually be listening to it. Like when Ben talks to me, if I'm watching TV, I'm listening to the TV. I can hear this like meh, meh, meh in the background, but I'm not actually listening to him. I'm listening to the TV. I just actually need to attune my ears to what someone is saying to me, rather than being distracted by the noise around me or by just my own voice in my head. I need to find the frequency that I hear best on. It's like when you're listening to the radio and you can find that really clear station, but if you miss it by just a degree or two, it becomes fuzzy. So the title of my message this morning is Find Your Frequency. So as Craig said, Ben and I were over east in Sydney. We were at the Hillsong Conference. And I was just really amazed at how seasonal their theme and the messages that were being preached were for us as a church. The theme this year was Speak, We're Listening. And many of the messages that were spoken centered around hearing the voice of God, the moving of and ministry of the Holy Spirit, allowing Jesus to transform us, with the constant phrase being spoken, the best is yet to come. And as I sat in this conference for 5 days, I couldn't help but draw parallels between what was happening there, what was being said, and the season that we are in as Hillside Church. Because as Hillside Church, we have an overarching vision of transformation in Jesus' name. We're in a time of looking forward, of anticipating what's to come. And we've been waiting on the Spirit of God in worship and learning more about the Holy Spirit in the Word. And as I was taking in all there was to take in over the course of the conference, I really wanted to bring something back for our church. I really wanted to bring something back for each of you. So this morning I'm going to share parts of the conference that I feel are relevant to what God is saying to us, and some things that He's spoken directly to me about that I feel is a message for people here today. But first, we're just going to do a little experiment, have a little bit of fun, a test, if you will, on your hearing. So basically what we're going to do, we're going to play this sound, and some of you will be able to hear this sound, some of you won't be able to hear it. It's a very high-pitched buzzing sound. So I'm going to get everybody to stand to their feet. If everyone can participate in this, it would be great. You only have to stand for literally a matter of seconds, so... and basically, when we play this sound, if you hear it, I want you to sit down straight away. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay, so if you don't hear it, you just stay standing and you're probably like, what just happened? Everyone will be sitting down around you. So I'll do a countdown so you know when the sound is going to play. So if we can play, are we good at the back to play the sound? All right, in 3, 2, 1, now. All right. So stay standing. If you're still standing, look around you. There's some people that are sitting. All right. Basically, if you're still standing, you're old. You could have a seat now. So if you actually looked at the people that were sitting around you, you might have noticed that there was a lot of the younger people that were sitting down, because this sound was actually created to stop teenagers loitering around shopping centres. So like teenagers would loiter and the shop owners would be annoyed that they're like, you know, making customers not want to come into their store. So they created this sound that older people can't hear. So they would keep shopping and all the young people would be like, oh, what's that sound? And just like walk away. So if you didn't hear it, it is a very high-pitched sound, almost like a mosquito buzzing, like just that annoying, like, zzz, like but really high. And basically, if you're over the age of 30, your chances of hearing that sound were very, very slim. So at the conference, one of the speakers, they did this experiment in one of the sessions. Bearing in mind, there's about 20,000 people in this arena. And Ben and I were in the conference sitting with Pastor Kerry and Sally and their family, and the speaker got everyone to stand. So everyone in the arena stood up and they played this sound, right? And there's literally like a wave of people that just sat down, like half of the arena just sat down. Meanwhile, Kerry and Sally and myself were left standing. So don't feel bad you didn't hear it, because I'm not even 30 and I couldn't hear it either. And in that moment, I was like, because like Ben's sitting down next to me, and he's like, oh, you're old. And I'm like, oh, this is so awkward. I'm not even 30 yet. And part of me wanted to do it again. Like, wait, I wasn't ready. Can you play it again? And some of you might have felt like that. Like, I'm sure I could hear it. Convinced that if you tried hard enough, you'll be able to hear it. The frequency that this sound is pitched at is something that you have to attune your ears to. So when I got back to the office this week, I was telling some of the staff members about this sound. And so Craig looked it up on the internet and played it. And at first we all just kind of looked at each other like, did anyone hear anything? Like, was something happening? Not even sure if anything was playing. So he stopped it and played it again. And there we were all leaned around to his phone like, oh, so desperate to hear it. Almost holding our breath, not making even the smallest of sounds. Straining our ears, attuning our hearing, tapping into the frequency of this sound. And then in the dead quiet, this high-pitched buzzing emerged from the silence and we heard the sound that not only young people can hear. We all heard it and I was the youngest in the room, so it was quite a good moment, especially because I thought that I was too old to hear it in the first place, which just really confirmed all my doubts about my hearing anyway. But then to hear it made me realise there's probably nothing wrong with my hearing. I just need to attune my listening skills to the frequency. Speak where listening. How many of us know that God is a speaking God? It's something that we all know and believe, and yet it's often one of the things we struggle with the most in our faith. We know that God is a speaking God, and yet we struggle to actually hear his voice. God speaks to us all in different ways. It's like we all have a specific frequency that we can hear his voice on. And just like that sound, some of you can hear it, some can't. And yet if we just attune our ears, the frequency becomes known to us. So in my message of find your frequency, I've kind of broken it up into three parts. And the first part is, what's the frequency that God speaks to you on? What's the frequency that God speaks to you on? Is it in the midst of praise? Is it in the blossoming of creation? Does he speak to you in the car, in the shower, or in the stillness of night? Does God speak to you in the raging fire, in the thunder and the storm? Does he speak to you in the quiet of your heart? What's the frequency where the voice of God can be heard speaking to you? So I want to share with you this passage in 1 Samuel. And it's when Samuel, as a young man, was still under the leadership of Eli, he first heard the voice of God. The verses will be up on the screen. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And I'm reading from the NIV. The boy Samuel, he ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. there were not many visions. So if we just stop there, right from the start, we are told that hearing from God is not a common thing. It didn't happen to everyone. And I almost feel like that's a little bit reassuring for those of us that struggle to hear the voice of God sometimes. He goes on to say, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. God then continued to speak to Samuel, giving him a vision about Eli. And what's amazing about this passage is that Samuel was still serving under the ministry of Eli. He wasn't the one that God usually spoke to, and yet God chose Samuel to give this vision to. God chose this moment to reveal himself to Samuel in a way that would set him apart. Samuel was a young boy who happened to find the frequency that God spoke to him on. Not even Eli heard God speak to Samuel in this moment. Eli, who was experienced and wise in his faith, who had been listening to God's voice for years, in this moment, he did not hear the frequency that God chose to speak to Samuel on. You know, we can become so accustomed to God speaking to more mature and wise Christians around us that we don't even expect God to speak to us. But this story of Samuel is like God saying to all of us, I want to speak to you. He wants to speak and be heard by you. He doesn't just speak to leaders or pastors or people in ministry. He speaks to you as his son and as his daughter. We surround ourselves with constant noise, whether it be music, traffic, TV, electronic devices, people, or just our own constant thoughts in our head, that we almost have no hope of even picking up on the frequency that God wants us to tune into. As I was attending the Hillsong Conference, I was there with an open heart and with open ears to hear what it was God wanted to say to me. And yet in the back of my mind, I was thinking about this message and how I really wanted God to speak to me a message that was relevant to you as the church. The whole week, that's what was in the back of my head. And yet I didn't get that divine clarity until almost 3 days later after the conference, when Ben and I were driving down to Canberra. We were in the car away from the city, driving past these wind farms and these beautiful hills, and the sky was clear, and there was just this quiet worship music playing from a CD in the car. And in this moment, I sensed the voice of God speaking to me, what he wants to say to you. I heard the frequency that Jesus comes close to me on. I attuned my ears in that moment. But it was a moment that wasn't in the midst of thousands of people praising Jesus. It was a moment that wasn't in the rush of the conference or in the bustling city of Sydney. It was a moment of stillness where my heart had been hearing from the word of God. I had been dwelling in his presence and sitting in his temple. My ears were listening to that frequency that he only speaks to me on. Samuel heard the voice of God for the first time in his life, in the stillness of sleep, in the stillness of night. And as we read that passage again, verse 3 says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. The word lamp in the Bible is used in both the literal sense and in a figurative sense. When it's used literally, it's referring to light or candle or oil lamp. but it's when it's used figuratively that it can be symbolical of the Word of God. It can be symbolical of the omniscience of Christ or of God's guidance. And in this verse, the words "the lamp of God" is referring to the Word of God. So when Samuel first heard the voice of God, there's three things that were happening in that moment that helped him to find that frequency. Firstly, he was near the Word of God. There was a speaker at the conference, Jansen Franklin, and he said, "If you read God, you'll hear God." And I just think that's such a great way to kind of go, how do I find that frequency? Read his word, be near his word, surround yourself with his word. Secondly, Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord. He was in the temple. So establish yourself in church, establish yourself in God's house. Connect with fellow believers, because when we share with fellow believers, we get hope and we get inspiration of how do I hear the voice of God? And it's an encouragement for us. And thirdly, Samuel, he was where the Ark of God was. The Ark of God was the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was kept in the Old Testament. It's saying to dwell in the presence of the Lord, to worship him. Samuel heard the voice of God because his ears were ready to hear the voice of God. He had spent time in the temple, ministering to the Lord, dwelling with the presence and the word of God. His ears were attuned to the frequency so that God could actually speak to him. So are you ready to hear the voice of God? Can you hear the frequency that he wants to speak to you on? Do you ever lean in? Do you ever stop in stillness? Do you ever become quiet enough to hear what it is he has to say to you? So if you know the frequency, how do you then ensure that you tune in to hear the voice of God? At Hillsong, Rick Warren shared about hearing the voice of God, and he spoke from the book of Habakkuk. I'd like to share with you some of what he said. But firstly, I'm pronouncing this book as Habakkuk, all right? That's how I read it. Ben and I had this discussion the other night. He seems to think it's Habakkuk or something. And I was like, it finishes in a U. How is it Habakkuk? There's no I there. So I'm saying it's Habakkuk. I'm sorry if that's wrong. It's just how I'm saying it. But I hope you guys know where it is. It's in the Old Testament towards the end. It's a very small book, only like 2 pages, so you can read it easily. But I'm sharing from there, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, "I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says." So just a bit of context of this book. Basically, Habakkuk is speaking to God and then God is replying. And it just goes back. It's like a conversation that they're having. So this is a moment where he's spoken to God and now he's waiting to see what God will say back to him. So other versions of that verse, instead of saying, "There I will wait to see what the Lord says," says, "I will look to see what the Lord says." It goes on to say, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Write my answer plainly on tablets. This vision is for a future time. It will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed.'" So what is this passage saying to us? How do we tune in to hear the voice of God? The first verse that we read says, "I will climb up to my watchtower." So the first thing that we can do is draw aside, climb up, go to a quiet place. Luke 5:16 tells us that even Jesus would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. So wherever you are, finding a place to draw aside, to step away from the noise, from life, it sets us up to attune our ears to hear the voice of God. The verse goes on to say, "I will wait to see what the Lord says." So secondly, wait. Wait in silence. Psalm 62 verse 5 says, "My soul, wait in silence for God only." We can draw aside to be with Jesus, but then if all we're doing is praying, if we're doing all the talking in that moment, how are we meant to hear him? We need to wait for his voice in silence. Ask him to still our hearts, to still our thoughts, so that all we can hear in that moment is his voice. And the other version of that verse, it says, "I'll look to see what the Lord says." So thirdly, read his word. God left us with his living, breathing word as a source of knowledge, as a source of wisdom, and a way for him to speak to us here and now. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, but if all we're listening to is that still small voice when our Bible lays shut beside us, it's like waiting for a text message from a friend with your phone turned off. Look at and read God's word. That's how he speaks to us. Habakkuk says that he will go to his watchtower and wait to see what the Lord will say to him. Then the Lord said. That word then. Habakkuk didn't wait for nothing to happen. He withdrew, he looked and waited, and then the Lord spoke. When we put ourselves in a place to hear God, when our hearts and our ears are straining to hear his voice in that frequency, God doesn't just pass us by. He doesn't just leave us hanging in that moment. Just like with Habakkuk, he will speak. Maybe not with what we expect or with what we want or how we want or in the time we want, but he will speak to you. And lastly, God says, write it down. He tells Habakkuk to write down what he says to him. When you're in that place, when you've spent time preparing your heart and your ears with God's presence and God's word, when you're tuning your ears to hear his voice by drawing aside and waiting, be ready to hear and remember what it is he says to you. Write down the vision, write down the words, the dream that come on that frequency. Just like with Samuel, God gave Habakkuk a vision. God is a speaking God, and in the book of Acts, we are reminded of what happens when the Spirit of God is poured out on us. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. The Holy Spirit prompts us to tune into that frequency that God wants to speak to us on. And it's in this frequency that his voice can be heard, that visions are imparted, dreams are given, words of knowledge and wisdom are spoken to us, for us, and for others around us. So we've looked at finding the frequency that God wants to speak to you on and then attuning your ear to hear his voice in that frequency. But what happens when that frequency hits a dead spot? You know how to find that frequency. You know how God speaks to you. But when you tune in, it's like it's just white noise. It's just static and you can't seem to hear his voice anymore. It's in this white noise that we can doubt that we even heard God speak to us in the first place, where we begin to question what we heard and our questioning turns into thoughts, which turn into words that we then start to speak over our lives. Before I even stepped into this role of running the youth ministry here at Hillside, God gave me a vision. He spoke to me about this ministry and his heart for the young people of this church and the young people of this community. But after the first 6 to 12 months of actually coordinating the youth ministry, we weren't even close to what I believed God had said to me. I'd entered into a kind of dead spot in the frequency of hearing his voice, and I began to doubt that I'd even heard him speak to me in the first place. This doubt began to grow in my heart and in my mind, and the words that I began to speak over myself started to affect not only my life and the role that I had here, but the whole direction of the youth ministry. So in the midst of a dead spot, speak faith over your life. What are you confessing over your life? You know, at the conference, Brian Houston said, words are for creation, not just communication. Words are for creation, not just communication. What are you creating in your life by the words that you're speaking? In the book of Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 11, the Message version, it says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. God's decree, for as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. just as rain and snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work and making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work that I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment that I gave them. The words that God speaks to us and over us, they don't come back empty-handed. They accomplish what he sent them to do. The words of God communicate with us, but they also create in us. Your words have the power to create in your life. In the midst of that dead spot, confess God's creation over your life. Speak the words that he's spoken to you in faith. When we find the frequency that God speaks to us on, when we attune our ears to hear his voice in that frequency, there can be an anointing over what he says to us. There are moments where the words that God speaks to us anoint us for a specific purpose, a specific calling. And we don't know when, we don't know how that specific purpose or calling will be fulfilled, but we know that it's just for us. We know that it's been given to us by our Heavenly Father. When we enter a dead spot of hearing God's voice, it doesn't mean that that anointing has changed over our lives. But maybe God is calling us to wait for the authority to fulfill that anointing. Phil Dooley spoke about this at the conference because you see there's a difference between being anointed to do something and having the God-given authority to do something. You might be anointed for a specific purpose that God has created you for, which I believe every single one of us is designed for a specific purpose and a specific calling, but you may not have received his authority to go and walk out that purpose yet. So in the midst of the dead spot, wait for the authority to fulfill the anointing. Wait for the authority to fulfill the anointing. In that moment of hearing God's voice speak to you, of hearing the vision, the dream he has for your life, the most logical step can be just to go out and make it happen, to go out and put into practice what he said to you. But it's only his voice that can lead us. It's only his voice that can guide us and let us know when the right time is. And quite often his timing is different to ours, but it's always perfect. There can be moments of waiting to hear his voice for direction, and we struggle to find that frequency. But in those moments, are you prepared to stick it out in the white noise to see the anointing partnered with his authority to fulfill the purpose over your life? When we've been in a place of hearing the frequency of God's voice and suddenly find ourselves unable to hear it anymore, our ears can become attuned to the voices around us, almost in a desperate attempt to hear the voice of God again. We start hearing the words being spoken by the world. Unintentionally, our hearts and mind quickly become consumed by words that don't hold life, but death. Words that don't hold hope, but fear. Being in a place where the frequency is lost and all we can hear is white noise from the direction of God, and mumblings, complaints, statistics, and empty words from the world, that can bring us into a state of fear. Over the last few months, I've found myself in this place of fear. Most of you would know now that Ben and I are expecting our first child, which is very exciting, thank you. But surrounding this pregnancy for me, I've just had this constant fear in the back of my mind. And when I was preparing this message, I kind of realized where the root of this fear came from. Because you see, a couple of years ago, over a period of like 2 or 3 weeks, I had a number of people, some complete strangers, ask me about having children and almost question me why I wasn't trying yet as I was getting older. Then even asking a few people in an attempt to get some kind of reassurance, like, please tell me I'm still okay, it was kind of like, yeah, you are sort of pushing it. And it's like, oh, okay. And just this fear that was seeded in my heart from that. Then last year, when Ben and I actually started planning on having children, the place of just waiting for it to happen, of people that we knew who were having difficulties falling pregnant, of people that we knew who were having miscarriages, whether early in their pregnancy or later in their pregnancy. And this whole accumulation of information, it just caused me to fear whether we'd even fall pregnant at all. And this is with no personal history or experience. This is just with the words that I was listening to around me. Then at the end of March this year, when we actually fell pregnant, being so completely overjoyed, but then to have that sense of joy overcome by fear, because I started listening to the words of the world. So for anyone that's had children, particularly your first child, you start reading and researching things and topics of discussion that come up that never concerned you before. Like, you didn't even think about it before. I remember a few years ago being asked, like, oh, what's your birth plan? And I was like, I'm not even pregnant. Like, why would I be thinking about a birth plan? But now they're topics I actually have to think about and know about. Things like birth plans, like private health cover, like food that you can't eat while you're pregnant, like private school, public school, vaccinations, childcare options, what type of pram or car seat you're going to have. Like, oh my goodness, the list goes on. And I have to tell you, like a couple of months ago, I was in Baby Bunting. And a lot of mums know Baby Bunting, great store for babies. Anyway, I was there with my mum looking for a car seat. There's like a wall, a giant wall of car seats. I'm like, I just want a car seat. I just want a safe car seat that's going to keep my child safe and locked in and secure. And yet there's all these features and extras and stuff. You can pay up to like $800 for a car seat. I was just like so overwhelmed by all this information. And there is so much information out there, all with their own agendas, both positive and negative. And I just became overwhelmed with the options and the pros and the cons. And my ears were filled with voices of the world. So much so that it's like I drove myself into this dead spot where I couldn't tap into that frequency of God anymore. I couldn't hear his voice through it all. I began to realize that I had to put myself in a position to find that frequency again. I had to draw aside. I had to wait and look to see what he was saying to me. And in this moment, I opened his word, desperate for some kind of insight, for some words of wisdom, which led me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." I read this verse and all of a sudden the white noise was gone. The words from the world faded away and the voice of my father spoke, as I attuned my ears to his frequency. And in this moment, I felt him question me in the dead spot that I'd been in and said, "Do you have a greater fear of the world than you do of me? Are you in awe of what the world tells you rather than what I tell you?" And I realized that the words that I had been listening to, they weren't from God, they were from the world. And instead of these words causing me to have a greater fear, a greater reverence and sense of awe for the one who uses words to create, the words that I were listening to was causing me to become fearful of the unknown, to become fearful of the possibilities. In the midst of the dead spot that you find yourself in, it can be easy to start listening to the words around you and to become fearful. But in all that white noise, choose to place the words of God above the words of the world. That verse again, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." When this verse says fear of the Lord, it's not talking about being afraid or scared of him. It's talking about having a holy reverence of him, to be in awe and complete adoration and respect of who he is in all his power and glory. As I read on, I came to chapter 2 of Proverbs, and there's a passage, verses 1 to 11, that I want to share with you. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. It's when we have a greater fear of God that he grants us knowledge and wisdom. And in a place where the words and voices of the world attempt to trap us into a mindset of fear, it's his words that set us free into a place of understanding. You know, many of us have heard the voice of God at one point or another in our lives. For some, it's a regular occurrence. You know where that frequency is. You know how to tune into his voice. For others, it's only been recognized a few times. And for others here, it hasn't been recognized at all. But our God is a speaking God. And he wants to communicate with us, with each of you. And I really believe Jesus is calling us to attune our ears, to find the frequency that he speaks to us on, and to wait and hear what it is he wants to say to us. The voice of God can be known by you as a child of God, not according to your status, your job, whether you run a ministry or not, but according to his incredible desire to be known by you. And this morning is an opportunity to tune in to that frequency, to find that place where his voice can be heard. As a church, we've been leaning into the Holy Spirit and learning more about the movement of the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned earlier, whilst Ben and I were driving to Canberra, I sensed God's voice speaking to me more of what he wants to say to you as his church. I shared earlier that verse in Acts where it talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon all mankind, our sons and daughters prophesying, young men seeing visions and old men dreaming dreams. And I believe there are people here who have found themselves in a dead spot, a place where they've heard God's voice in the past. They've sensed his anointing for a specific purpose, a specific calling, but now all they can hear is that white noise. I believe there are people here. There are people here who have received a vision for their life. When they were younger, whether it be 50 years younger or only 5 years younger, there was a moment where God gave you a vision and it hasn't been fulfilled yet. And you don't know when or how it will happen, but you feel like maybe you missed it. Maybe you missed the opportunity, and maybe you misunderstood what God was saying to you in the first place. But this morning, our Heavenly Father would say to you that it's not too late, that you haven't missed out. But are you prepared to wait, to seek his voice again? Are you prepared to stick it out so that he can give you the authority to fulfill the anointing that he's placed on you? Our God is a speaking God, and church, he wants to speak to us this morning. If you want to find that frequency, if you want to hear his voice speaking to you directly, he's asking you to attune your ears. If you've heard his voice before but have found yourself in that kind of dead spot, know that the direction that he gave you, the words that he spoke to you, the vision he gave you, the dream that he gave you, it will not return empty-handed. Don't allow your confession to change from the one that he first gave you. Speak faith over your life. Don't allow the time spent waiting to be wasted. Stick it out to see the authority over your life. Don't allow the words of the world to bring doubt and fear into your heart. Dwell on his words. It's time to dream again, church. It's time to stand on the words and the vision that He gave you, to draw aside, to look to His word, to dwell in His presence and wait for His voice to emerge on that frequency in the stillness of your heart. So we're just going to, I'm just going to ask you all to stand. We're going to take this time to sing this song, God, I Look to You. And if you know that this message was for you this morning, if you know that you just want to hear the voice of God again, or you've never heard it and you want to hear it, or you've just found yourself in that dead spot and you feel like you've missed out on what it is He said to you, on the vision that He has for your life, then I just want to encourage you to come down the front. I just want to encourage you to come and receive prayer and to come and just stand before Him, to wait in His presence, to lean in and find that frequency again. So as we sing, if you know that this is for you, please come down. We'd love to just be with you and just encourage you to take this moment just in the presence of God to hear what it is He wants to say to you this morning. So if we can sing together.